We're learning Michtam Eliyahu. These are the final paragraphs of the essay on giving and taking. And the topic is the love of Hashem. So he says as follows: Avodas Hakel Bnuya al Yesod HaKoras HaTov. The service of Hashem is built on the foundation of the service of Hashem is gratitude. We mentioned before that the literal translation of the word gratitude is HaKoras HaTov, is the ability to recognize goodness. We recognize goodness, Hashem is the source of goodness, all goodness comes from Him, and therefore that's what you look to. You look to the source. You look to, if you can get it direct from the manufacturer, so then that's where you go to. Right? You go direct to the source, is the best place. So therefore, if all life, all goodness, all happiness, all joy comes from Hashem, all success, all good health comes from Hashem, so that's what you look to. The chorus until you recognize, you acknowledge, and you show your acknowledgement. So that's the foundation. The foundation is HaKoras HaTov, is gratitude, the recognition of the goodness of Hashem. Right, just by the way, the nations use the word God for Hashem. That's God, is from the word good. God and good is the same word. This is explicit in all of the holy Sforim. Asher al adam lehoides l'Hashem hatoiv al kol hatoivus asher yaseloi, that it's upon a person, all the holy Sforim, all the holy books speak that it's a obligation on a person to thank Hashem, who is good, for all the goodness that He does for him. To acknowledge to Hashem for all the goodness that He does for him. You recognize, you acknowledge that that's where the good is coming from. That is critical. That's critical for our service of Hashem. V'kibishvilom alam alav lekayim es kol ha-mitzvos v'chukim v'ha-teiros. And it's on account of all the goodness that he receives that he should therefore fulfill all of the commands and all of the statutes and all the rules and all of the Torahs of Hashem. That is, Hashem is the source of life. Hashem wants him to do something, so obviously he's going to do what Hashem asks him. Everything comes from Hashem, and obviously he has to obey Hashem and to fulfill his rules. The idea behind this, what we've just said now, is hinted to in the very first of the Ten Commands. Which is the Ten Commands being what Hashem revealed with a complete revelation to the entire people at the occasion of standing at Mount Sinai. There was a revelation. Right? The heavens opened. The seven heavens opened. They saw angels. They saw visions. So there was a revelation. At that point, He revealed to them these teachings, which is a life that sustains, that gives us life. The ability to follow these teachings gives us life. So the first of the commands says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecho, I am Hashem your God, Asher Hoitzeicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim, who took you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. So what do we see there? It mentions who took you out of Egypt, which is seemingly superfluous. Just say, I am Hashem, your God. The first mitzvah is, I am Hashem, your God, which means, believe that I am Hashem, your God. Believe in me. Right? Subscribe to me. I am Hashem, your God. Accept that on yourself. Accept that I am Hashem, your God, and subscribe to, right? Attach yourself to this idea that I am Hashem, your God. But he doesn't just say, I am Hashem, your God. He says, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. And also he adds there, mi beis avodim, from the house of slavery. Why do we need those additions? Who took you from Egypt? Who took you from the house of slavery? The answer is, le'oireis rikshus hakoras hatoiva. It's to arouse the feelings of gratitude. Right? Since this is what I did for you, therefore, that gives me validity. That gives you a reason to attach yourself to my command. And yuchala adam lavoid es boirei gam yir sa'oinish. It's true. A person can also serve his creator from the fear of punishment, Now, punishment doesn't just mean punishment, it means also the losing out of reward. Everyone else will receive reward and I won't. Everyone else will receive the world to come and I won't. So I'm scared of losing that. I'm scared of being less. So therefore, that's a reason to serve Hashem. I don't want to lose out, or I don't want to be punished. I don't want to suffer in any way. I don't want to be denied in any way. Where a person is scared and he's worried that he shouldn't get back according to his own evil. You know, as if a person does evil, we know there's measure for measure. The way you act is the way, what you give out is what you receive. So therefore, if you act in an evil way, so evil will come on you. So that is a reason not to be evil. I don't want evil things to happen to me, so I shouldn't do evil to others, right? What you do to others is what comes back on you, or the way you act is what comes back on you. So therefore, that would be a motivation to serve Hashem, to fulfill mitzvahs for the reward, and not to receive punishment. And with this motivation, a person will fulfill all of the commands and all of the rules. And that really is the first step in the different levels of serving Hashem. That's the basic step. Right? You want to have a good life, you want to have it good, you want to have reward, you want to have pleasantness, whatever it is, so then serve Hashem. Serve Hashem and you will have it good. And that also follows what we're speaking about. Be a giver and you'll have it good in this world. Be a taker and ultimately you'll suffer. Right? If you're a taker, maybe in the short term there's some sort of benefit. Right? Being a taker, by meaning you snatch, you have more, you snatched it all, you took it all. So you think in the short term it looks like you're going to have it good, but in the long term we know, and if anyone observes, anyone has eyes in his head, he can see that in the long term such a person suffers. So therefore it doesn't pay to be a taker. And if you are a giver, if you are a giving person, you do see that ultimately you do profit. Ultimately, the person who receives goodness and goodness and goodness is the person who gives it out all the time. He gives it out and he receives it. He gives it out and he receives it. In a sense, it's like a pipeline, because right, if the pipeline is blocked, so then nothing can come in. A certain amount comes in. If you have a block, your blockage, like they have a blockage in a sewerage, right? So everything gets blocked, everything gets stuffed up. Nothing else can come in, nothing can flow through. But if whatever goes in flows out, so then the flow is constant, right? Then the person gives out and more comes in, and more he gives out and more comes in. So therefore he sees that he profits from being a giver. Right? The reward for mitzvah is not in this world, that is true. But you are helped to do that which you want to do. If you're coming to serve Hashem, so then you're given the means to serve Hashem. So if you want to be a generous person, help people, so you're given the means to be generous. You're handing out money all the time, so you're given money to hand out money. Right? So therefore, it's not a reward, but it's like a perk of the job. But a person doing very good work, so it's the same thing. A person's a very high level worker in a company. The person is a very important part of that company, so he gets a secretary, he gets a company car, he gets an extra couple of telephones, he gets an officer. It's all in order to help him do his work better. It's not reward. It's just part of his job that he should be able to do his job more effectively, so he gets all of this help, which is like a reward because it's made more pleasant for him, it's made easier for him. Whereas the person who's a reluctant worker, so then they're reluctant to help him. And the person only does things because he has to, so there's a reluctance. So also from the heavens, they act with him in a certain reluctance, and everything becomes hard. Everything, and if it's hard for him to do things, it's also hard for him to receive. That's true. So that certainly is the first step of a person. When a person serves Hashem, the first step has to be with a reward motivation. We are all motivated by reward, right? Once you know that there's a prize, once you know that you get paid something for what you're doing, so it works easier, right? That sort of greases the machine. That makes things run smoothly. It's an amazing thing that, for instance, here we have a town of people who want to learn Torah, and yet you have in the Beinah Zman, you have in the holiday breaks that the minute they give the smallest reward for people to come and learn, and they could be paying a pittance, they're paying a very small amount, but just that just fuels the machine. It just makes it more, there's more of a motivation, right? I know I'm getting something, even though it's a few shekels, but it has a psychological effect on us, that it gets us awake, it wakens up, it gets us moving. So therefore we are motivated by reward. And we need to know that, and then you can use that for others, and you can use it for yourself. Right? If you're going to do something that's a little bit difficult for you, so give yourself a reward. Say, no, I'll do this and this, I'll have a reward. I'll treat myself to X, Y, Z, whatever it is. So that's definitely the first step of the service of Hashem. Aval, but there's a higher step which we are all expected eventually to reach. Right? If not fully, then partially. Part of our day should be at the higher level, if not all of our day, at least part of our day should be at the higher level. And that higher level is avodas halev, the service of the heart. Avodas sheyeshba min hashleimus, the type of service which has perfection to it, right? In other words, the service of acting out of love for Hashem and not doing it for the reward. So that's the higher level. The lower level is the reward, is the motivation, and certainly that's a useful tool, and we have to know how to use that. But at a higher level, so that's the more perfect type of service where you're not doing it for the reward. You're not doing it for the reward. Tirak b'hagoshes haridah. So that can only come about. You can only reach that level of doing out of love if you have a sense of gratitude. When you have a sense of gratitude, that will motivate you to act out of love. And I've received so much, I don't want to receive anything. I want to now give something in return. I've received so much from Hashem. He's made my life so amazing. It's so incredible, my life. I want to give something there. I don't want Him to pay me anything. I want to do something on my own, right? Not without the reward. So that's that motivation, which is called perfect service. It's called the service of the heart, where the heart is, it's not just physical movements of the limbs, but I really want to be doing, there's a desire, genuine desire to be doing what I need to be doing, whatever it is, whatever mitzvah I'm doing, there's a genuine desire to do that. So that can only come, that can only be sparked and started off by a sense of gratitude, which is that we think the right types of grateful thoughts, so that arouses our gratitude. Amru Chazal, our sages have said, Kol ha-koifev teivosu shelach chaveri. Our sages have taught that anyone who denies the benefits he's received from his friends, a person's an ingrate toward his friends, and he denies the fact that he received any help. Yeah, no one helped me, no one gave me anything. Right? So he denies the good. He denies the benefits he received from his friend. Lebesoif, ultimately, koyfe b'teivosu shelav kodesh boch. Ultimately, he will also deny the goodness he received from Hashem. Right? This is a teaching of the sages. Person who denies the goodness he receives from his friend will also come in the end to deny the goodness he receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As if to say, well, I'm a self-made person, Hashem never really gave me anything, He never really helped me anything, it's what anything I have, I did it for myself, I took care of myself, I never received anything from anyone, and I never received anything from Hashem. That's exactly that type of heresy that's up, because that a person can reach, right, through being an ingrate to other people, he becomes an ingrate to Hashem. And this teaching, this is an amazing teaching, because really, why should it be like that? If you're ungrateful to a friend, why should that make you ungrateful to Hashem? So let's see. This teaching was explained by one of the great Musa teachers, Rabbeinu Nachum Zev Ziv Zatzal Mikelm. This is Rabbeinu Nachum Zev. This was Rabbi Esther's father-in-law, and he gave the following explanation. So this is what he says: Hey, now Adam yisnag nisnai b'chol ma'asov kefi koyches nafshe. A person conducts himself according to his personal strengths. Right? You act according to your personal strength, your personal makeup, your personality. Right, your personality affects your actions. In kasanhu, if a person is a very hot-tempered person, if someone gets angry easily, yichos b'chol inyan shaviyehu lezeh. So he gets angry any situation where he's a little bit aggravating, it's a little bit frustrating, so he's already getting angry. That's in his nature, that he's an angry person. So any situation where there's a little bit of a pressure, or a little bit of discomfort, already he's already flaring up. Im goyehu, if he's a person who's a very arrogant person, a very proud person, he's goy b'kol mokum shu, so he's already showing off his pride in any situation. He has even the smallest achievement and he's already showing off, he's strutting around, look what I've achieved. Right, so therefore the nature comes out, the personality comes out in the life situation. Im toivu, if a person has a goodness in his personality, he's a good person, he's naig b'toivu im klimakol, so he acts in a good way with all people. There's a goodness, the goodness comes out in all situations. No matter what the situation, if there's goodness in the personality, so that's what comes out. And if a person is very mean, a very stingy person, or a very mean-spirited person, so that also comes out all over. It comes out, you'll say something stupid, he makes some comment, and it's just the meanness within him just makes him sprout at these words. Lo yuchal ha'odem lishol olil v'ismira, no person can borrow from his friend any of the personal strengths which he's lacking. Right? Their personality strengths, you can't just loan, you can't borrow them. I'll borrow courage from the day from my neighbor. Right? I'll be a generous person for the day. Okay, and therefore, here comes our explanation. Kfui ha-toiva, someone who's an ingrate, not just towards other people he's going to be like that, right? Just like he will deny the benefits he received from his friend, so in the same way he will deny the goodness he receives from Hashem. So that it's because it's built in, it's a response, it's a character, it's a response to a situation. Therefore he doesn't know how to acknowledge, he can't give acknowledgement, he can't express thank you, he can't say thank you, he can't say thank you, so then he can't say thank you to Hashem either. Velo yafrish, and he doesn't make a distinction. Since this is a personal strength, it's part of his personality that he denies benefits he received from others. So even when he comes before the Creator, he'll act in the same way. And he can't suddenly start acting differently. He can't act out of character. You can try and act out of character for a very short while, but it doesn't last very long because it's unnatural. And when a person does give thanks to Hashem, v'yagish b'kol levov v'nafshe ki chay v'ptashlumei, and he feels that he's obligated to pay all the goodness, the many goodnesses which Hashem has done. You know, as he recognizes, firstly he recognizes the goodness in his life, the goodness he's received. And right, look how much Hashem has given me, look how much I have, look how rich I am, look how rich I am, look how much I have. So therefore, and he feels that he got this from Hashem, and he feels an obligation to acknowledge that. So he'll give these thanks in the korban, whether he gives a sacrifice in the times of the temple. Right, there's a type of sacrifice which is called a korban toida, a thanksgiving offering, or betfila, for us with a prayer, just to say thank you in your prayer, a sense of gratitude and a feeling of love for Hashem, which he presents to Hashem. He gives his thanks, he gives his prayers, he presents his prayers to Hashem. He comes to pray before Hashem. That's presenting himself. He's giving himself to Hashem in prayer. And in doing this, a person becomes a giver. So therefore, he becomes a giver. In doing this, he's giving thanks to Hashem, and he's showing appreciation. He is a giver. He's now acting in showing appreciation, in saying thank you, in praying before Hashem, and expressing his gratitude. So therefore he is giving. He puts Hashem in the position of being the receiver. He makes it the other way around. He turns things around. Where Hashem becomes the receiver and he, the person, is the giver. And with this he reaches a very, very high spiritual level. Can you imagine that, right? He is the giver and Hashem is the receiver. He is giving to Hashem. The product of this type of giving that we're describing here is what we call dveikus. Dveikus. Dveikus means cleaving to Hashem, being attached. That creates the attachment. That's the Right. That's the relationship that creates the relationship where, right, it's give and take. Each one is, right, each one's giving to the other and receiving from the other and giving in return. So that's considered dveikus. That is the closest type of relationship where a person is attached to Hashem. He is in the presence of Hashem. He's there. He's with Him. He's with Hashem, so to speak. Hashem is in his life, and he is in Hashem's world. His world becomes Hashem's world, and it's not detached. It's not, you know, I don't see God. Where's God? I don't see. He's not in my life. No, He's in my life, and I'm with Him, and I'm relating to Him, interacting with Him on a constant basis. So that is the highest level, and that's what comes from this act of gratitude, of giving. That the giver attaches himself to the receiver. We mentioned that love is aroused by giving. When you give to others, that arouses feelings of love for that other that you're giving to. Your act of giving creates a love for the person you're giving to. So therefore, your giving to Hashem through expressing thanks, that creates your love for Hashem. Shi'ava gemura, this is the complete love, as we mentioned. So this is the highest level, serving out of love, and the key to that is gratitude. Okay, tigdal madregas avas Hashem yisbroch, and therefore this level of the love of Hashem is very, very great. Asher tichbad liknoisoi, which is, it's actually quite difficult to acquire it. As simple as it sounds, you know, what can be easier than just saying thank you? Isn't that a very easy thing to do? But the truth is, it's not an easy thing to do, because we have to get our heads around it. That no, it's what I have is not, I deserve to have it. You know, I've got good health, I deserve to have good health. Who says you deserve to have good health? I deserve to get up tomorrow morning. Who says you deserve to get up tomorrow morning? Today was a nice day. Who says when you go to bed at night, you're going to be waking up the next morning? Who says you deserve it? Yeah. Who owes it to you? Someone owes you your next moment of life. Someone owes you your next breath of air. So therefore, we have a sense of entitlement. Of course I'm entitled to it. Of course I'm entitled to my house. No one should break in. No one should steal it. I should lock the door. This is my private domain. No one should enter my house without my permission. I'm entitled to it. I've got titles, right? I've got in the deed office, I have title to the house. I'm entitled to it. The sense of entitlement, so that to strip ourselves of that and just to have a sense of, no, so this is just all a gift, is not an easy thing. Right? And therefore, to be grateful for very simple things, right? Just to be grateful even for the air that you're breathing, to express gratitude just for that, is not an easy thing, and it's a certain mindset that it leads to a very, very high level. That's what we're saying. It's worthwhile acquiring this, and it's training ourselves to think in a certain way. It's retraining our thoughts. We're used to thinking in a way that I'm entitled, magiali, I deserve it. I deserve it. So people say, you know, oh, it's coming to me, Bali, it's coming to me. It's I'm deserving. So therefore, to change it, I don't deserve anything. What? Even if I'm the most perfect tzaddik, Hashem has already given me so much more than I've ever given Him, that He doesn't owe me even one second of life. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me the clothes I'm wearing. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me food. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If He took it all away from me in a minute, I could have no complaints, because He doesn't owe me. I've already received so much. I can't have any claims. I can't take Him to court. You know, what do you do? So therefore, this is what makes this level very, very lofty. And therefore, there are very, very few people who fulfill the very first mitzvah of the Krishma. The very first mitzvah of the Krishma after is Hashem Elokecha. Love Hashem, your God. Love Him. How do I love Him? By giving to Him. How do I give to Him? By expressing gratitude. That's the only thing you can give Him. What can you give Him? What can you give Hashem? Anything you have from Him. Right? Like if a parent gives his kid, you know, a shekel, so he says, "Dad, I've got a gift for you. Here's a shekel." You know, I mean, you got it from me. It's ridiculous. But you can express this gratitude, right? Which is something from yourself. Because as we mentioned before, there's a reluctance. There's a reluctance to give thanks. We have built in us a certain reluctance. You know, why should I thank? I mean, it's mine. I deserve it. So that's the greatness. And therefore there are very few people who fulfill the very first mitzvah, love Hashem your God with all your heart, etc. Ki ad she'yagia adam lekinyan koyach hanesina, until a person will acquire this force of being a giver, this strength, this personality strength of being a giver, va'akoris atoiv habo mimenu, and the gratitude which comes out from this desire to give, there's a desire to give back and to give, lo yasig es ha'av klal, he cannot reach the love of Hashem. Without this is the condition. Without this giving, there cannot be the love of Hashem, which is the ultimate level. Right. And therefore we have now successfully explained that the root of the love of Hashem is koyach hanesina, the force, the strength of giving, to become a giver. That's the key to reaching the love of Hashem. Now he's added another piece here which concludes what we just said up to now. Right. He's just picking up a certain point. We mentioned before a person who denies the goodness he receives from his friend, but in the end, ultimately denies the goodness he receives from Hashem. So he picks up the word ultimately. What does it mean by ultimately he denies the goodness he receives? What's this ultimately? So he explains like this. There's a very deep idea. There's a deep idea hidden here, which I'm going to explain in a very short way. And if you think about it, it's a very deep idea, but you'll grasp it. It's a beautiful idea. And the idea is as follows. When a person passes from this world, right? When a person dies in this world, he comes to the world of truth, beyond this world. So therefore all of the matters of this world will be revealed in truth. You'll be able to see the truth of what's good and what's bad and what's correct and what's not correct. You'll see all of the many errors that he erred, all these mistakes that he made, all the things that he justified to himself in this world. It's okay to do this, and this is okay, and this is fine, and this is no problem, right? So he'll see all the mistakes that he made will all suddenly be clear that obviously it was a mistake. All the sins that he sinned in the days of his life, his whole life, he's shown his whole life, right? Your entire life, every moment and moment of your life, right? That's the ultimate album. And that's how it's going to be, because there's no Yetzihara in the world of truth. There'll be no evil inclination. So therefore there'll be nothing to mislead you. There'll be no covers, nothing to mislead you, nothing to cause you to make errors. And therefore all the truth becomes obvious. All the truth stands out clearly. And no error, there's no room for error in the world of truth. However, Amnam Amru Chazal Rishoim, and here comes a very puzzling teaching. Say our sages, Rishoim Afila Pisri Shel Gehenam Einam Choizim Etshuva. The wicked people, selfish wicked people, even at the doorway of Gehenim, right? They're standing at the door. They can look in, and they can see the suffering in Gehenim. They can see right in. The door's open, and they're standing in the door. Even at the door of Gehenim, do not do tshuva. They do not. They refuse to do tshuva. That's what the Chazal says. They can't do tshuva. They cannot express regret for their way of life, their lifestyle, even though they see that their lifestyle is a path of destruction. So therefore, the question is, right, what does it mean that they have no right? They cannot do tshuva in the world to come, even though they see the truth. Surely they know the evil of their ways, of their sins. So therefore, why are they not expressing regret? Why can they not express regret even when they see that they were wrong? They were wrong. They did the wrong thing. Oh yeah, I made a mistake. I did the wrong thing. There were two options. I chose the wrong option. So I made a mistake. So therefore, how come they can't see it? How come they can't do a turnaround at that point? The explanation of the matter is as follows. Hayadia v'shi'ifa dvorim nifrodim heim. A person's knowledge and a person's desires, his ambitions, are two separate things. Aloitire, right? What you want and what you know are not the same thing. There's what you want, there's what you know, and then there's what you want, and they don't always match.
We
see a person wants things that even though he knows that these are bad for his health, so his knowledge tells him this is bad, but his desire tells him this is good, and that's it, he's going to follow it anyway even though he knows it's bad. A person will sometimes do things that are bad for his health because he wants it. He says, ah, but he knows it's bad, doesn't matter, what I know and what I want is two different things. But lo yuchal enatzel minataiva biyadir, you can't save yourself from your lusts just with your knowledge. Knowing that it's bad is not enough. You know, lo tikra tshuva ela asher yazav ezavoy noisav umaisav aroyim. Now, it's not called tshuva. We said a person in even at the doorway of Gehenna cannot do tshuva, because it's not called tshuva unless one leaves his sins and his evil deeds. In other words, leaves his tendency to sin and to do his evil deeds. Aval azivas hamaisav ela tluya biyadir bilvad. Leaving our bad ways, our bad habits, our bad ways, our bad personality traits is not dependent on knowledge alone, ela b'shifa, but desire. You can't leave a certain path unless you desire it first. You have to desire to leave that. You have to want to leave it. You can't be forced. You can't be forced by your knowledge. Right? There has to be a desire, there has to be a drive to leave that path. That's what tshuva is. V'haya ki yoshuv yishanis ha-she'ifas liboy. When a person does do tshuva, it means he changes his set of desires. What he wants, he no longer wants what he used to want. That's really what tshuva is. What he used to want, not what he's doing so much, what he used to want to do, is now not what he wants anymore. That change is the tshuva. So therefore tshuva is only going to be when he changes the ambitions of his heart, the desires of his heart, and then he won't sin anymore. That is the complete tshuva. In other words, where there's a change of heart, that's really true. Because your actions are based on your heart, and therefore if there's a change of heart, then you will now live in a different way. Because you now want to live in a different, you want to be a different type of person. You used to want to be this type of person, you now want to be another type of person. So therefore that change of personality, that's not something that you can do, even though you see the truth before you. Our sages have here taught us something amazing. When a person dies, the nafsha shavel ha'ulam ha'emes, and his soul goes back to the world of truth, and tovin ha'nefesh ha'dvorim asher kasher hem. So his soul will now understand matters as they are. He sees the truth as it is. He sees the real truth. Because ha'yosei is bo lefaneh, all of the errors, all of the misjudgments are all clear. However, his original drives, his original desires, which he had in his lifetime, that set of drives that he had in his life, and those ambitions, those wishes and wants that he had in his lifetime, they're ingrained in the personality. That's just part of his person. It's just part of himself. That is who he is. He is, his set of desires defines himself, his person. So therefore, even though he sees that his choices are evil choices or bad choices, his drives remain the same. This is what they mean when they said, even at the doorway of Gehenna, he sees the painful consequences. He sees how it's destroying him. He sees the painful consequences of his ways. They don't do tshuva. They do not turn around and do tshuva. Which is to say, because the desire for evil is just part of their self. And they cannot leave it. They just can't walk away from it. It has to be slowly. That's what you have to go into Gehenna for. In the Gehenna process. So then slowly it's prized away from you. Slowly when you strive. But it's a process. It's not a momentary thing. It's not, I see the truth. Okay, let's turn around. And you're going in your car. You think you're going towards Yerushalayim. And someone says, stop, you're going on the wrong road. Oh yeah, I'm going the wrong road. All right, let me do a U-turn. Let me take the other road. It doesn't work like that, because it's your whole personality. It's what you want. It's what you like. It's your whole self. So it's not just that you can't just say that's the truth. Turn around. So that's why there is a process called Gehenna, right? Whatever, however long it takes, whatever cleansing person has to go through. But it cannot be instantaneous, even though he sees the truth clearly, black and white. That's the clear truth. It doesn't help him. The kachu gam be'inyan kviyasatov, and this is the same thing in a person who is an ingrate. Misha shif osa chumris, a person whose drives are materialistic, a person whose whole life is about material gain. It's more important. It's more important that he has a certain carpet in his house, or he drives a certain car, than that he does a mitzvah, that he does a good deed. These are his high priorities, and these are his low priorities. Right, to do mitzvahs is no. But his high priorities are these materialistic gains. This is a person who is a taker. He wants it all. He wants to live it up. He wants the ultimate life in this world. So he's not able to recognize the goodness that he's received, the goodness of Hashem. As we explained in the right before. So therefore ultimately, even when he reaches the world of truth, right, where everything is stripped away from him, he doesn't have all of the, right, he leaves everything behind. He leaves all of his property behind. Even there he's going to deny the goodness of Hashem, because it's built into his person. And then he will recognize that he needs to learn this. He needs to start beginning to appreciate. That's the beginning of the repair. It's when he starts changing his whole mindset. So when he starts realizing how great was his crime, how great was his sin. Even when he sees his mistake, he cannot yet feel gratitude. He can't feel gratitude. He's just not. It's not part of him. It's not a part of his personality. He has trained himself to be a taker. He's used to taking. And this comes, this force of being a taker. He brings it along with him. He's a taker. This is part of his self, right? And he comes with this force, with this drive. He comes into the world of truth, and he can't just switch around. However, giving thanks, right? What thanksgiving is really, is, as we mentioned before, that's cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the world of truth, that gratitude in the world of truth translates to Shira. We hear Shira and Yizkeh B'Melachot Tzadikim. This is the song. It says in the world to come, so the angels sing songs to Hashem, and the tzaddikim sing songs to the Hashem. So that song is a certain spiritual level that you enter. That is the expression in the world of truth. That is the expression of the gratitude. Becomes the person who will be singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His world to come is an expression of song. Like there's a joy. There's a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also have the concept of song in this world, but the higher concept of song is in the upper worlds, in the right. And a person can't merit that song if he doesn't have that cleaving to HaKadosh. He doesn't have that attachment. He can't sing to what he's not attached to. Right? It's, you know, to sing to something that disgusts you, or something that you have no connection with, is an impossibility. You can't. A song is something that comes from the heart. It's not just the melody. It's not just the words. It's got to be. It's fueled from the heart. And if there's no heart connection, so it's impossible for a person who is naturally a taker, it's impossible for him to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the musa, this is the teaching that our sages have given to a person who is an ingrate, that he could, through being an ingrate, he could even lose his share in the world to come.